98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, could I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Man, does this smell good.
Wolfen, down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolfen Luke.
See, boys. All right, it is noon on a Wednesday. It is time for Wolfen Down Your Lunch. And joining us right now with today's top stories, Cody Fincher is in for Maloney. Cody, what's going on?
What's up?
How you guys doing?
Nobody calls him Cody, by the way. His name is Bear.
Bear.
Everyone calls him
But we have Bear from the Coyotes on later.
I think Luke was the last one standing on that one.
And I'm still calling
him. Calls me.
It was so weird. Maloney, of course, said, Cody Fincher's going to be. I said, Cody, what? Who? What?
Oh, so that's why I didn't get an email from you last night.
Well, there you go.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, okay.
Well, guys, the news broke yesterday. Sean Payton stepping down as New Orleans Saints head coach. And here's what he said in his press conference about what's next for him.
I don't like the word retirement. Mr. B didn't like it either. He always said, you know, retirement's overrated. We get sold this whole image of retirement by these investment groups on TV and golf courses and retirement. And so I still have a vision for doing things in football. And I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future, but that's not where my heart is right now. It's not at all.
Okay.
Okay. Wait.
It's not his plan.
That was a roller coaster.
Wait a minute. Yeah, but did he say it's not my heart?
It's not in my heart right now.
When's it?
Didn't he say? I thought he said my plans are not coaching in 2021 or 2022. Did he not say that?
He said a lot of things.
So his heart isn't in it right now, but it will be in 2023. I don't know. So what do you guys think Sean Payton will be doing when football season rolls around?
Wow.
Next year?
I think
it changes everything.
There's a big Cowboys logo on this TV right now. And maybe that's subliminally making me think he's going to be coaching the Cowboys in 2023. I think he'll be coaching somewhere in 2023. I don't think he'll be coaching at the start of the 2022 season, but I think his name is going to hang over every coach that is even close to a hot seat.
I am reading from a transcript here, and it says, quote, "But no, my plans are not to be coaching in 2022, and that's just how I feel." Okay, my plans are not to be coaching in 2022, so I'm going to stick to my opinion. Because my plans, why would you qualify it with my plans? Why not just come out and say, I'm not going to be coaching in 2022? I can tell you that right now. You got to be kidding. I'm not going to be coaching in 2022. That's an easy thing to say,
I have
definitive.
An answer for you. I've got a very clear answer for you. He's an NFL head coach, and even though he now isn't for like 24 hours, he's used to not giving you an actual answer. So he needs to like...
That is like, so well said by you, but it's just my plans. He left the door open when he said that. We all know plans can change. The best laid plans of mice and men all go awry. Isn't that right, John Steinbeck?
Is that from The Grapes of Wrath?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, something I'll have to put on my reading list there. We'll stick with the NFL and futures, as Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. And he said that pretty much everything is on the table at this point for him.
Free agency is not. I don't think that's an option, but everything is definitely on the table. There are things that seem more plausible or more likely, which I won't necessarily get into. But the most important thing is first the commitment to playing and to going through the offseason and training and all that stuff is the first. And then after that, it's conversations with my agent and Brian and looking at the desires of the team and the mindset moving forward, and then make a decision from there.
Now, there's a report out there from Jordan Schultz that Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams want to team up together with the Denver Broncos. Luke, you mentioned earlier the favorite in Vegas is still for him to return to Green Bay. So where's Aaron Rodgers going to play? If he is going to play, where will it be?
First of all, how did Bear do this where every topic he has brought up, they've switched to it on that screen? Do you see that?
I have.
Oh my goodness! It is. There is a symbiotic relationship between Bear and the Matrix.
Even when you were talking about Aaron Rodgers, they showed him. When you said Devontae Adams, they switched over to him. This is unbelievable.
That is so weird, right there. It's almost as weird as you saying grapes of wrath. Did you say that?
Well, that was a joke. I would assume.
No, it's of mice and men.
Yeah, I know, because you said that. You said the quote of. Of Mice and Men is in the quote.
Yes, okay, great.
This is sarcasm.
Okay, so you were joking with yes. Okay, great. I'm glad you did that. I just want to clarify.
Went over really well, obviously.
Yeah. You know your sarcasm sucks, Butterbill.
No, but it's not going anywhere. It's ingrained.
I'm going to say
You want to say something, just say it.
I'm going to say Denver. No, it's not how I work. You're going to understand things I said 3 weeks ago tomorrow. I'm going to say Denver.
Okay, Denver, you're going to say, I'm going Green Bay, man. Aaron Rodgers, are you kidding me right now? His good friend, Brian, I want to call him Bill all the time. Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, of course. He's got a great relationship with him now. My good friend. And I trust him. He's the T word, trust. Yeah, you know what? I think he's definitely going back to Green Bay. And they're going to franchise Devontae. Stop the drama.
I kind of like to see them in Denver. That'd
It'd be
fun.
Kind of funny, yeah.
That'd be fun.
Russell.
Oh, it's where Russell Wilson's
That's
going?
Russell.
Oh, okay. The latest NFL mock draft on NFL.com from Bucky Brooks is out. And, Luke, you refuse to say it, but I'll say it. It's mock draft season around here. And he has the Cardinals taking Trent McDuffie at 23, a DB. Out of Washington. So he has the Cardinals addressing their secondary. What is ESPN talking about the Cardinals NFL mock draft right now? Is that what you're looking at?
No, okay. They only take defensive backs out of the University of Washington.
Yeah. You guys were talking about this a little bit earlier, but just reading this NFL mock draft addressing the secondary, is that the biggest need for the Cardinals to address their secondary, or is it something else, do you think?
It's the first need that jumps out to me, but I do think you address different needs in different areas. Like, I wouldn't mind taking a corner in the draft. If I could get, I don't know, the third corner off the board at 23, I'd have to look at mock drafts, and it's not quite mock draft season yet for me. But if I could get, like, the third or fourth corner off the board at 23, and then maybe I go out and get the guard through free agency or whatever, or, you know, I mean, there's other positions that are probably right there. But corner in a draft is interesting.
Yeah, you know, for me, I would have to say I'll take the best wide receiver, the best corner, or the best guard available at number 23.
That's probably the way to approach it, really. Go into that pick saying, okay, I've got three positions I'm looking at. I can get the fifth off the board here or the second receiver, or then I'm just taking the guy that's highest in his group.
All right, it's Suns Day here on 98.7 FM. The Suns are going for their eighth straight win tonight in Utah against the Jazz. Currently, Phoenix is 37-9, the best team in the NBA. James Jones was rewarded with a contract extension yesterday. And that brings us to today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Who do you think has been most important to the Suns' success? You have three options.
Okay, and the number is three.
Three. James Jones, Monty Williams, or Chris Paul?
Oh, this is a brutal question.
Okay, you know what? Honestly, I'm going to start with James Jones. I'm going to start right there. Was James Jones actually here before Monty Williams? Yes, he was. So James Jones said, you know, hey, Robert, I guarantee you right now, see this guy, right? We got to go get this guy. We got to go get this guy and bring him in here. And I think Monty Williams said, man, I like James Jones. Champ was great. He was a great player. Oh, my goodness. He's got a great reputation. He's super smart. I'd love to work with him. So all of a sudden, Monty Williams came. That was part two of three. And then they got Chris Paul to come in here. It started with James Jones.
This is a diabolical question. They're all right. I'm actually going to say Monty Williams has been most important to the Suns' success. Maybe that's partially me hoping that this continues even after Chris Paul retires. But Chris Paul is probably, I'm guessing, who most people voted for. And James Jones might actually be the right answer. But I'm going with Monty.
All right. I cast the vote in favor of Wolf. I picked James Jones. 37% say Chris Paul.
Yeah.
34% say James Jones, and 29% say Monty Williams.
There is no wrong answer.
They all kind of go hand in hand.
There is
no
wrong answer on that, man. No way.
All right. Finally, the Baseball Hall of Fame voting results were revealed yesterday, and the writers elected one player. Boston Red Sox legend Big Poppy David Ortiz was the lone person elected into the Hall of Fame this year. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, among others, didn't make it. Here's ESPN's Jeff Passan.
You cannot tell the history of Major League Baseball without the man who hit more home runs than anyone, without the man who hit more home runs in a single season than anyone, without the man who won seven MVP awards. I'm not trying to look past Barry Bonds' steroid use. It's bad, and it was obviously bad, but the reality is he was one of the greatest players in history. He's right up there with Babe Ruth. He is right up there with Willie Mays, and the fact that the writers did not induct him, I think, is a true shame. And it's going to be on the Today Era committee that's going to be convening in December. There are 16 people on that committee, and Barry Bonds needs to get 12 votes in order to get on there.
Are you guys shocked or surprised at how yesterday's voting turned out?
No, and I know we'll get more into this later on in the show, but the Baseball Writers Association, their voting for the Hall of Fame has become just about the baseball writers. That's all it is, honestly, at this point. We talk more about them and how they vote than the actual players. That's a messed up system.
I'm with you on that. Couldn't have said it better.
All right, that was Wolfing Down Your Lunch. Thank you, Bear. And when we come back, could Kyler Murray be the best quarterback in the NFC soon? There's more factors than just his development at play. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dusty work boots, shiny leather loafers. Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, it is an interesting thought here. Is this Green Day? Is this Green Day for Wolf? Wolf, this is Green Day just for you. After all the times you thought My Chemical Romance was Green Day.
Yeah, what? That sounds about right. Right?
That's, yeah.
I wasn't a huge Green Day fan either.
I
wasn't
say
a
you
huge
were.
Green Day fan. I'm just saying that My Chemical Romance sounds an awful lot like Green Day.
They all wear eyeliner.
I can see. Yeah, I guess.
Honestly, you don't see that, Bear?
There's a little emo in there.
Young Krug brother!
Their lead singers, both of them, kind of look similar, I guess. They sound different, for sure.
Okay, I'm talking about the music in general.
It's all punk.
All right.
Yeah, ripped them off. I mean, that's okay. It happens all the time.
That's the cycle of music, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Right. Yes.
They say if you, I don't know what chords they are, but if you learn just three chords, you can play any Green Day song.
And if you just would learn those three chords, Barry, you could be in a Green Day cover band.
I don't know what they are.
By the way, that's what they said about AC/DC as well.
You think it's the same three chords?
Yes.
Wow. We should all learn one chord. And we got Rick here, too, so we'd have four chords. We would be an unstoppable band. Yeah. Got to come up with a good name for it.
And we could wear corduroys.
Oh, wow. I see what you did there.
Hey, you're out of the band, Wolf.
Yeah. Sorry.
Do you understand that right now? Corduroys. Have you ever seen dudes walking around in corduroys?
I had a pair when I was like 3 years old.
Okay, Rick. Honestly, yes. When you were three, I understand that. But I'm telling you right now, back when I was in high school, Basinonians, wearing corduroys and clogs together. Corduroys and clogs. At Orchard Park High School, it was the biggest thing in the history of mankind.
What?
Would they jump
off? I have so many questions. Yeah,
jump onto tables.
They were called. Oh man, they were Quakers.
What's a clog?
A clog. What do you mean?
Like the wooden shoes?
That's really what you wore wooden shoes to high school.
You had a wooden sole and it had a rubber like substance on the bottom of it.
Like
it was an open heel, a clog. You've never seen a clog?
No, I guess
you have Amish where you're from, right? Communities?
They're out in the country, yes.
So that's
they're out in the country
those, right
now. Oh my goodness, walking around, there were so many kids that used to walk around Orchard Park High School in a check shirt and corduroys and clogs. All right, the greasers at Orchard Park High School, of which I was a fine upstanding member.
you sure this
used to
the Outsiders?
Used to walk around in jeans and clogs with no socks.
What?
No socks.
Rebels, come on. No
even
socks
in the winter
and
time,
clogs?
Even in the wintertime, no socks.
No socks.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, that sounds
horrible. Take that, you Quaker.
Just seeing the football that was played in Buffalo in the wintertime, I can't imagine like not wearing like two pairs of shoes.
Oh, man, you just walked right through it with a windbreaker. You didn't have this winter coat.
Two pairs.
Windbreaker on and no socks in your gloves.
Did you say two pairs of shoes or two pairs of socks?
Shoes. And socks.
Yeah, why not? Just pile them all on. All right, looking around the NFL, specifically the NFC, Wolf. And you watch the Chiefs and you watch the Bills play on Sunday, and you're like, okay, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, nobody who can contend with these teams in the AFC, who has the quarterbacks like that? And then you're like, okay, well, who are the other great young quarterbacks potentially in the league? Well, it's Joe Burrow, it's Justin Herbert, they're both in the AFC. Kyler Murray would be the other one. I think if most impartial football fans said, if you told them, okay, you got to name the top five young quarterbacks in the NFL. So whatever Mahomes' age is and younger, since he's part of this,
yes,
it would be in whatever order, Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Burrow, Kyler Murray. Well, only one of them is in the NFC.
Yeah, that is so interesting. You brought this up earlier, man. This is so interesting. Only one of those young guys, two-time Pro Bowler, I might add. Yes, it's so easy when you think of the last game, when you see the last game, and I know people are going to say, Wolf, did you see his last five games down the stretch, of course, of the regular season? I understand what you're saying, but can I just tell you this, Basinonians? Kyler Murray wasn't playing alone. It was the entire team. Got to get their act together. And it was that, and the big thing, too, the big impact was DeAndre Hopkins and not having D-Hop. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was going to be that big a deal. I did not when he went down. And in retrospect, I want to kick myself right in the teeth. He's one of the
that
best
hurt if you were wearing
wide
clogs.
Receivers in the National Football League. And not only that, I made the point at the time, he helped Kyler Murray read coverage. He helped Cliff Kingsbury call plays. Because you could almost guarantee what kind of coverage you were going to get in a certain down and distance in a personnel group based on where it was on the field. You could almost guess what kind of coverage you were going to get. It cleared it up for Kyler Murray, and it cleared it up for Cliff Kingsbury. And for me, not to actually emphasize that to the point and to the degree that I should have, it was a failure on my part.
Yeah, okay, but it makes sense that it would make a huge difference. And you could go through and pull the top receiver off of most good teams. What are the Chiefs without Tyreek Hill? Are they as good? No. Are the Rams as good without Cooper Kupp? No, they're not. But and DeAndre Hopkins might be the best receiver. He's certainly one of the two or three best when he's out there. But it shouldn't make that big of a difference. I feel like the offense never fully adjusted. So I agree that maybe we should have seen how big of a difference it was going to make and anticipated that, but it shouldn't have made that big, ultimately. That's not a knock on DeAndre Hopkins. You got to be able to adjust. Now, beyond, though, just the young quarterbacks, Wolf, how much are we hearing and talking about Tom Brady might retire? Aaron Rodgers might, I don't think he's going to retire, but he might go somewhere else, and that could be Denver. Russell Wilson could go somewhere else. That might be Denver. That might be Miami. There's a bunch of scenarios where
I think
at least
Aaron Rodgers to Denver. I just want to come back to it because you know Mark Schlereth, of course. You know Stink, mm-hmm. who he is.
He's
right?
on these airwaves
There's
a lot.
No doubt about that. Stink reported, remember when he tweeted it out? The deal was done for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, like a year, like before the season, right?
Let me think about it, man.
Maybe. There was somebody that had one before the season, too.
I think it was before the season, okay. Yes. It was before the season. And Stink, and for him to do that, it just, there's no way in the world. He had to get that from somebody.
He heard something.
He heard something. And he probably was not supposed to go with it and just assumed it was okay if he went with it. And boom, it all blew up. But he reported that Aaron Rodgers, the deal was done. Remember that?
I do remember that because I remember thinking exactly what you just said. He doesn't do stuff like this.
He
so there
does,
must be
no
something
way.
To it.
No way.
This is not a guy that just throws out a bunch of predictions as reporting and he hits on, 20% and he's like, look, but let's just say Rodgers does leave. And Brady does retire. I don't know. Brady, Wilson, and Rodgers. I would be surprised if all three of them are right where they are right now next year.
Yes.
So even if one or two of them leaves, just look at the NFC landscape in terms of quarterbacks right now. You look around and you're like, okay, Kyler Murray is by far the best young one. Dak Prescott's going to be 29. Matthew Stafford might win a Super Bowl here. He's, you know, he's getting up there, but he's got plenty of years left as an NFL quarterback if he wants to. But Wolf, those are the three quarterbacks in the NFC. All the good quarterbacks right now are in the AFC or potentially moving to the AFC. So that doesn't guarantee anything for the Cardinals, but it sure does open up a path. As long as Kyler Murray takes that next step we keep talking about, you're looking at the Giants don't have a quarterback. Washington doesn't have a quarterback. Philly doesn't know who their quarterback is. Minnesota, nobody's scared of Kirk Cousins. Justin Fields, maybe in like a couple years he could be something. But if you look around the NFC,
yeah,
and you have the question marks that Green Bay, Tampa, and Seattle potentially have, you could be looking at a league that should really be dominated by Kyler Murray in the next couple years.
Man, that is... It's something I really did not consider, and yet you brought that up yesterday morning, as a matter of fact, before we actually hit the air. We didn't talk about it, but it was when I first heard you say that, Luke, there's somebody you're missing here.
Yeah, and then you look, and you're like,
and then you look, and you're right. Whoa! The AFC is loaded with a lot of young quarterbacks that are coming up that look out. They look like they are going to be franchise quarterbacks, and some already are for years to come. Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, years to come right now. Joe Burrow, oh my goodness, yeah. As young as Joe Burrow is right now, only his second season, he looks fantastic.
Might win the Super Bowl.
And Herbert as well. Season. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it. That is a shock. The AFC and the quarterbacking in the AFC, I think, is only going to get better, because I do believe that at some point in time, if in fact Aaron Rodgers goes anywhere, if he goes anywhere, it's going to be the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. And the thing, or the other odds were for Pittsburgh. I mean, that doesn't guarantee anything, but yeah, probably if he leaves, he's going to the AFC. And the thing is, yeah, okay, maybe Justin Fields or Trey Lance or whatever evolves, but that's one guy, and they got to take a lot of steps to get where Kyler is.
Even Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's 38 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson's no spring chicken. Not saying he's old, but he's been in the league. It's, you know, over double digits now.
This isn't a great draft class for quarterbacks either.
No.
Doesn't mean none of them can be good, but it's not a great class. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, the Suns going for their eighth straight win tonight. They're going to be without another key contributor, but they are getting more and more defense from one of their stars. That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Suns Day. Brought to you by Four Peaks Wow Wheat on the home of Phoenix Suns basketball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Day with Wolf and Luke.
Yeah, it's Suns Day. Suns in Utah tonight. 8 o'clock tip, so adjust however you have to. Just go ahead and tell your boss you're not coming in early tomorrow.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, you're going to watch the Suns, and they can just adjust the economy around you.
I mean, that's one of the coolest things you can imagine the Phoenix Suns right now. They could look at anybody in the league, look them dead in the eye and say, what are you going to do about it? You know what I mean?
Nobody can do anything about
it. Interesting right now. And they're not even at full strength. Now, the team they're playing tonight, Utah, of course, they're not at their full strength either. No doubt about it. Donovan Mitchell, no Rudy Gobert. They're going to be out for tonight, and I was really looking forward to that, man. I wanted to see a little Bismack. Don't say Mac unless you're scratching your butt. Say Bismack Biyombo. I wanted to see a little Biyombo and Rudy Gobert, just an effort guy like Bismack. I wanted to see that against Rudy and all of that goodness and all of that talent that he has.
You're not going to have JaVale McGee tonight. You already don't have Jay Crowder and DeAndre Ayton. I don't know that the campaign is a lock to miss this game, but it doesn't seem like campaign's going to play either. So the Suns are going to be down a significant amount of pieces. That hasn't seemed to hurt them. As you just said, Utah's going to be without Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. That's, you know, that's not their whole team, but that's basically their team right there. So we'll see how this plays out. That's just the reality of basketball right now. But, you know, the fact that the Suns continue to win, and they're missing more players every night. I know the other team's missing some tonight, but still, Wolf, 37-9 right now, chance to go 38-9. You've played 46 games. You've had your big three for exactly half of those 46 games.
Damn.
And you mentioned something earlier, and we kind of touched on it, but I want to play this quote from Cam Johnson talking about Devin Booker, not the scoring. The scoring's been there since before Kentucky. The scoring has been there. But the defense with Devin Booker, it does look different this year.
Not enough. I think that the biggest thing that he is a competitor, you know? He's going to continue to shoot the ball. He's going to continue to attack. He's going to continue to defend no matter how the game's going. That's probably his best quality is his competitive spirit. And a lot of times it shows in the defensive end. He'll get that credit. You know, he's coming. He's starting to. I remember earlier in his career he wasn't. Now he's really starting to get it, and it'll only improve from here.
Dorian Finney-Smith. Oh, my goodness. It's still, and honestly, it was on display even in the last game they played. Clarkson, he was all over Clarkson, hitting the floor. He wants that assignment as well now. He's looking for that assignment to D up and actually take on some of the best offensive players. You can see Devin Booker growing as a defender. It was something that I think he really tried to do during the Olympics. You could see him really improving on the defensive end of the floor, and that isn't a surprise to me. And the reason why I say that, Basedonians, is because all of a sudden you get around the best of the best, the Olympic team, and, man, you want to show off a little bit, especially when you're a young kid like Devin Booker, mm-hmm. still a young guy, and you're playing in your first Olympics. There's no doubt about that, man, to show off a little bit and say, hey, I want to be a complete ball player. I think he got bit by being the complete ball player that he truly wants to become, the best basketball player he wants to become. And that means two-way, not just one-way.
I think the Olympics really, we may look back as one turning point in his career. I mean, he's already had a few. But when he got to the Olympics, you know, remember him and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton had to fly over together? Like, yeah. That had to be an awkward plane ride. 24 hours after losing to the finals to those guys, you have to then fly over and be their teammate. And you're only flying around the entire world, basically, or half the world. But when he got there, his role was kind of the energy, hustle, defensive guy. That was Devin Booker's role. And this, again, goes back to the conversation I think needs to be consistently had about Devin Booker. Maybe Suns fans are already on this, but I just think nationally, that humility where he goes, he was just in the NBA Finals, Wolf, and he shows up at the Olympics and he's like, yeah, you know, you guys need me to be the energy defensive guy. I've been the top scorer on my team my entire life. I'll be the energy defensive guy.
Yeah.
And you take that now and you're seeing elements of it this season for the Suns.
Well, who was his hero? Of course, Devin Booker. Kobe Bryant, and we all know Kobe. Oh my goodness, the Black Mamba, of course, assassin on the offensive end of the floor, and Cobra on the defensive end. So, you know, honestly, if that is in fact the guy you're trying to mimic, yeah, you're going to go out there at some point in time and make the improvement on the defensive end, and I think Devin Booker is on his way to doing that.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It's all part of the complete package. And he knows last year. Look, it's not. Hey, if Devin Booker was a slightly better defender, would they have won the title last year? They probably would have got where they got, which was about as close as you can get. But it sure gives you a better chance to win this year and next year and for the foreseeable future. And you're out there. I mean, you're at the Olympics with the best players in the world, and you're playing that role.
See, once again, I think of Devin Booker. Why is it important for Devin Booker to actually do this, Basedonians? It's not just offensively. It's not just the tangible of watching him offensively. It's not just the tangible of watching him improve on the defensive end of the floor. What happens is everybody else that is sitting around, everybody else on this team looks at Devin Booker and says, man, he is a competitor. Man, he is trying to get better on the deep. Man, he's expending a lot of energy and effort on the defensive end of the floor. Look at what one of our models, one of our leaders, look at what he's doing on the floor. What am I doing? It just by being there on the roster, being there on the bench, being out there on the floor with him, it forces you to say, what am I doing? Look at what he's doing. This happens all the time. It's one of the reasons why I talk so much about your best players having models as culture and walking around the locker room and showing exactly what it is to be a son. And this is how we play, by the way, on both ends of the floor, because defense is one of Monty's five pillars. It's what culture is all about. So because of that, watch me do it. And then it forces you to do it as well if you're on the team. It's incredible.
It is cool, too, to see the Devin Booker as he evolves. I know he said a couple weeks ago, look, I'm not Kobe Bryant. I'm just, you know, I'm my own guy, but that's the guy I looked up to. But it would be cool to see Kobe Bryant play one more game, you know? Like, it's just you see Devin Booker, you see what he's doing, and I think we all appreciated what Kobe Bryant was, but it was tough as a Suns fan to watch him on the Lakers all the time. But, you know, you see Devin Booker in this version of it now, and it's just like, yeah, that's the best basketball. That's the way to play. Sammy Hagar and George Thorogood are heading to Ak-Chin Pavilion for their Crazy Times tour. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m., but you can win a pair now by visiting the contest page on arizonasports.com. Coming up next, there are now 9 head coach openings in the NFL, and nobody's getting hired. Why? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh my goodness. I think I was 13 years old when this came out. Boston.
Wearing corduroys and clogs?
Oh my goodness. Clogs, of course, without socks. Oh, you want a brawl? Okay, fine. In your jeans. Of course, the Quakers all walked around in their corduroys, and you can tell right now, see, this is what a messed up thing this is. It's the rejoin without lyrics.
That's usually what happens when they make it a rejoin.
This is the bane of our show's existence.
So when
I apologize, basically.
We're the only show that plays lyrics in our rejoins.
I apologize. We all know it's not the song without the words.
When we were talking about Smells Like Teen Spirit a couple days ago.
Oh, now that was an outrage.
And I brought up how I had heard an interview with Kurt Cobain where he said he kind of ripped off, but he was influenced by More Than a Feeling from Boston. So I listened to that song after you and I were talking, and you can hear it. Like, you can hear
it's very cool. You can hear the little riff.
It's like a little bit into the chorus. That's crazy to think that song would influence Smells Like Teen Spirit. Anyway, to the NFL. And, I mean, we could talk to you about the coaching carousel, but nobody's ever getting hired, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
Unbelievable.
There are 9 teams out there looking for head coaches. Wolf, we were talking about this the other day, like how, like a week in, we're like, okay, there's 8 teams, nobody has a coach. Now we're almost 2.5 weeks in, and instead of teams hiring coaches, more teams are just losing coaches. The Saints have lost Sean Payton, so now you have 9 teams out there looking for a head coach, and are they all just waiting for the first domino to fall, or what's going on here?
Yeah, you know, honestly, you know, we were talking about this yesterday when the news of Sean Payton came down. It's just, listen, I am the grassy knoll, my brothers. I am. I don't live on the grass. I am the grassy knoll. Because of that, I will tell you right now, the grapevine in the National Football League is vast and varied. I've been saying this for years, and it's so true. What one person knows, believe me, somebody else is going to find out at the other end of the coast, at the other end of the country, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're going to find out. And the reason being is because all these assistant coaches and people within the organizations, they talk to each other. They do. The grapevine is vast and varied. And I think what has happened, this is just a guess, but a lot of teams wanted to, okay, they got tipped off that Sean Payton was actually going to step down. Is that a possibility? Yeah, I think it's a real possibility. And maybe some of these teams, they're just waiting to talk to Sean Payton. Well, Wolf, what do you mean? He said he's not going to coach in 2022. He said, my plan is to not coach in 2022. But you know what? Plans, well, we all know they change from time to time. And maybe if somebody called up and said, hey, Sean, man, I got a pile of money right now. You ready to come coach like Jerry Jones?
Oh, well, here you go. This is Ryan Clark talking about there's nine teams. Okay, nine. Here's the nine teams real quick in case you have forgotten. It's the Raiders. It's the Jaguars, Bears, Broncos, Texans, Dolphins, Vikings, Saints, Giants. All don't have head coaches. Okay, so who does Ryan Clark expect to pursue Sean Payton? Dallas.
You know, when you hear Stephen Jones say he fully expects Mike McCarthy to be their coach next year, that makes sense to me. If Sean Payton sits out an entire year, I cannot see them not at least doing everything they can, opening up the bank account to get Sean Payton to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And it's an attractive job. Diana Rossini said he's felt disrespected a little some because his team or his organization didn't necessarily have the juice that it needed in certain situations. And when I hear that, I often think that, man, that Dallas Cowboy job is probably seeming prettier and prettier because we know that a young Drew Brees isn't walking through the front door of the New Orleans Saints facility anytime soon.
It's not even one of the jobs that's open, and yet he's probably right.
Yeah, you know what, though? You have to wonder what's going to happen. Mike McCarthy, okay, the Dallas Cowboys, the end of their season was not good either. Or either if you're on the East Coast, okay? I'm just telling you, that was not good. But he did get them back into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they looked much, much better. So are you telling me what happens if Mike McCarthy this time gets back into the postseason and wins a postseason game? You're going to jettison Mike McCarthy? I don't know. Right now, my expectation is next year the Cowboys are going to be good. Would you say that?
Well, look at their division. Yes, they're going to be good.
They're going to be good.
Yeah.
So are you going to hit the eject button? I don't know about that.
See, I'm with Ryan Clark on this one. I don't think it's just Mike McCarthy. I think any coach that is either kind of on not the hot seat but like the warm seat right now, any coach with an over aggressive owner, I think we would agree Jerry Jones could be that. Any coach that gets off to a bad start next season, the longer Sean Payton, it's only been 24 hours, but the longer his name lingers out there as a possibility, even if it's not a real possibility for 90% of the teams in the league, any coach that's on the hot seat next year, that seat gets hot much more quickly because Sean Payton's out there.
Okay.
And you know any owner's like, yeah, okay, I really thought we were going to start the season 6-0 and we're 2-4 and Payton's out there, you know. Certainly Dallas. I mean, if you're Mike McCarthy, you better win 12, 13 games in that division and win playoff games
because
so, you know they want Sean
Payton.
Well,
if I'm to believe you right now in what you're saying, what Jared Jones is saying is no sleep till Super Bowl.
I think if he was here right now, he would say that.
You go full on Beastie Boys. No sleep till Super Bowl.
Do you disagree?
Well, you know, honestly, once again, what are you going to do? You going to tell me Mike McCarthy, hypothetically, he gets you to the NFC Championship game next year and they get blown out? And that's it! You're out! You know what? You're talking about Jared Jones? Maybe. Especially the older he gets.
I mean, it took him forever to part ways with Jason Garrett, and I get that. But let's just say the Cowboys have the exact same season next year, and Sean Payton is available. They're going after Sean Payton.
Yeah, but you know what? Once again, I'm wondering who's going to call on Sean Payton right now. Who's going to do that, Basinonians? Somebody is. They've had time. Believe me, this has been a rumor that has been out there. I don't know that it was out there. I don't know that, ladies and gentlemen. But knowing how the grapevine works, it's been out there. And some organizations, if not all, they knew this was coming. So, okay, what are we going to do about it? There are some teams that are probably asking themselves right now, should we do it? Would we be in the running? They're making phone calls to Sean Payton. They're making phone calls to his people.
Teams that already have a coach, right?
Yes.
Now. Yeah. You know who really kind of set the precedent for this sort of behavior where, okay, we just hired a coach, but we know it's not right. We're getting a new one. Or we just took a quarterback in the first round and we know it's not right, so we're going to draft another one next year. It's the Cardinals.
Yes.
They're the ones that set this precedent. where you could, if you think Sean Payton's better than the coach you have, even if you are one of the 23 teams that currently has a coach, yeah, you probably are making the call. He's been one of the best coaches in the NFL for 15 years.
If for no other reason than just saying, you know what, Sean, for years I have respected you so much and absolutely love you as a person and as a coach. I just wanted to say, fare thee well. If I'm a general manager, I'm picking up the phone and I'm just saying, do you have any interest whatsoever? Do you have any, right? I mean, why wouldn't you do that?
The only reason you wouldn't.
Why would you not do that?
Is if you knew you had no chance and it got out. That's the only reason you would.
But Sean Payton, a pretty trustworthy dude. I'm not calling his agent.
Yeah, you're just calling Sean.
I'm talking to Sean.
That's the thing. You can look around this league, and I don't know what the exact number is, but I'm sure you can find quite a few coaches that their owners, if you could get them alone and they had to tell you the truth, would be like, yeah, I'd rather have Sean Payton than the guy we have.
And it's not only that. You know what else happens here is a general manager goes ahead and has this low-level coach that Sean knows, a coach in the Cardinals organization or some other organization. You know what? You just call Sean Payton, gauge his interest. If there is any interest, I'll call. If not, it never happened.
Just next time you're talking to him, you know, maybe just bring it up.
And again, I'm not just talking about the Cardinals. We're talking hypothetically here, based on it's not going to happen here. But if you were a general manager out there, I guarantee you, you're making a phone call.
It's not going to happen here, but it should be noted that Cliff Kingsbury would be one of those coaches, I think, next year that if he had a bad year, we all agree, is on the hot seat, and that seat gets hotter when Sean Payton is out there if he doesn't take a job this year.
Yeah, but he said, my plans are not to coach in 2022. So why did you qualify it? You might coach this year. Just admit it, Sean.
Coming up, what are the biggest needs the Cardinals need to address this offseason going into 2022? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.